The Gemara begins with a discussion of the punishment for having corrupt judges. Rabbi Yossi ben Elisha Omer, Imreisa Dorsh at Saras Rabbos Baosalav Tseu Bedok Bedayana Yisrael. If you see a generation that has a lot of troubles, we should inspect the integrity of the judges, because there are psukim and micha that teach us that bad things happen in a world where there are corrupt judges. When judges, Kohanim and Neviim, take money for their services, Hashem gives a three-pronged punishment of destroying Tzion, destroying Yerushalayim, destroying the Harabayas. We learn from Pesukim in Yeshayahu that the Shechina only returns to the Jewish people once we've removed all the corrupt judges from our midst. And Ula adds, "Ibatli dayani batli gezirfati." If we rid ourselves of corrupt judges, Hashem will rid us of the court officers who physically beat up the Jewish people. Rabbi Milai learns from the pasuk Shevet Moshlim, the Talmidei Chachamim, who either are related to corrupt judges and or enable ignorant judges to adjudicate by teaching them some basics, are going to be punished by Hashem. Rabbi Elazar ben Malai learns from a different pasuk in Yeshayahu that the judges, the scribes, the lawyers, the litigants, all of them are going to be corrupt at one point in time. Once we mentioned that what Rabbi Malai says and what his son Rabbi Elazar ben Malai taught about judges, we mentioned two other things from Rabbi Malai that have nothing to do with anything about judges. First is that the Torah calls Yosef Nizir Echav to indicate Miyom Shapirish Yosef Me'echav Lotam Tam Yayin. From the last day he saw his brothers, he didn't drink any wine, and not only that, they didn't either drink any wine from the day that they last saw him. And Rabbi Malai thinks that they only refrained, but Rabbi Malai himself disagrees. He says no, they only refrained from getting drunk, not that they refrained from drinking any wine. Second, the Rabbi Malai taught b'schavra chava samach b'libo zachal choshen mishpat al libo, that because Aaron HaKohen was so happy for Moshe Rabbeinu when he became the leader of the Jewish people, so the schus of that, he was zochet to the choshen mishpat of the Kohen Gadol to be placed on his heart. Shalach le b'nei bashchar Levi. The people of Bashkar sent three questions to Levi. Levi didn't answer any of them because Levi was already dead by the time the questions had gotten there. However, they were answered by Rav Menashia. First question was, Kila Mahu, what's the halach about putting up a canopy over a bed on Shabbos? And he said, Lo matzinu tzad heter, there's no heter, can't find anything. He didn't want to tell them that there is a tzad heter. Rabbi Bar Yecheskel holds that if the canopy is still attached to the frame of the bed, there's no problem with opening and closing on Shabbos, because the Fishenim B'nai Torah, they're not B'nai Torah, so he thought that they're going to take leniencies much further than he actually wants to give them. Second thing, Keshusa B'karma Mahu, can you plant hops in a vineyard? Is that a violation of Kilei HaKerem? And again, he didn't want to tell them Rabbi Tarfon's cool on this Shaila, which would mean that we're allowed to be Mekel, because anyone who's called a Mekel B'Eretz Yisrael, Lach K'mosu B'Chutz La'aretz, anyone who's Mekel in Eretz Yisrael, we'd be allowed to paskin that way in Chutz La'aretz, because again, Einan B'nei Torah, didn't want to share any kulas with them, because they're not B'nei Torah. Parenthetically, the Gemara mentions three approaches to this issue. Rav held that it's mutter to plant hops in a vineyard. Rav Amram Chasida gave malchus to anybody who did it. Rav Misharshia would ask a non-Jewish child to plant it for him, sort of a middle ground opinion. Third thing they ask is mace b'yomtov mahu, can you dig a grave for a corpse on yontif? So you paskin that the corpse cannot be buried, even though strictly speaking, it really can be buried on the first day of yontif by non-Jews, on the second day of yontif even by Jews. But Einan B'nei Torah, they're not B'nei Torah, he didn't want to share any kulas with them. Gemara then tells Rav Chama Bar Gurya holds that Misatef Adam Bekilo Bekaskasev Yotzi L'Rosh Hashanah B'Shabbos V'Nechoshesh, person can walk in Rosh Hashanah wrapped in a certain type of canopy that has strings hanging off of it, and it's not a violation of carrying the strings of Hatzah on Shabbos. Walking with a talis Sheinu Mitzuyetzes Gilchasa, with a talis that the tzitzis aren't tied properly, that's usur, because unlike straps, tzitzis are very chashuv, and therefore they're not bottled to the garment, so it's considered that you're carrying the tzitzis. The Gemara gives four cases where we use a harama to avoid a halachic problem. First, even though you're not allowed to hang a strainer to strain wine on yontif, you can hang it to hold pomegranates, and then once it's up, use it to strain wine. Second harama, even though you're not allowed to brew beer on Chol HaMoed, if you don't need it for yontif, somebody who has lots of beer in stock can still brew on Chol HaMoed with the excuse that he wants to drink from the new beer on yontif, even if he doesn't ever actually drink from the new beer. Third harama, even though you're not allowed to plug a hole in a barrel on Shabbos because it's a violation of Tikkun Mana, fixing the barrel on Shabbos is a problem. Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yechivan plugged the barrel with a garlic clove, saying that his intention was just to put away the clove, not to plug the barrel. And the fourth harama the Gemara tells us about is that even though you're not allowed to take boat trips on Shabbos, a Talmud Chacham used to go to sleep on a boat knowing that the captain was going to set sail on Shabbos, and next thing he knows, he wakes up on the other side and he's able to watch over his produce on the other side. Rav Ashi comments that these haramas were all to avoid an Isser Durabbanan, and Tzur B'Mei Rabbanan Lo'as Masi Lameva L'Chadchila, we allow a Talmud Chacham to do a Harama to avoid an Issa Drabanan, because we're not worried that a Talmud Chacham is going to come to do these Averos L'Chadchila. And then toward the end of the daf, Zat the Mishnah, Nosu Mayim Agave Hashmaron B'Shul She'itzolu, you're allowed to pour water over wine dregs, and you don't have to worry about Borer sorting the water from the dregs. Ze'iri only allows straining clear wine, unless you're standing Bein Agitos, where no one drinks clear wine, and no one's careful to drink clear wine, and therefore would not be a problem of tikkun of anything by making it clearer. Mitzvahs. The Mishnah says you're allowed to strain wine through cloth or through a palm basket. Rav Simi Bar Chiya only allows using the cloth if it pours evenly through the entire cloth, but not if yasa guma, if it all drains to one area of the cloth. Then he holds that it's an isser because it might lead you to schita, Rashi explains. When using a basket, Rav holds that the basket can't be more than a tefach above the kli that the wine is draining into, because that will be a violation of making an ohel just by putting the basket there. Rav Papa would separate beer from its dregs by slowly pouring the beer from one kli to another, and even though it would be a problem to sort the last few drops by letting them drip from the dregs, nitzotzos lebe Rav Papa lo chashivi. Those last few drops weren't important enough to Rav Papa to actually sort from the dregs. And then the daf concludes, nosim beitzav b'masanen shel chardal. We could put an egg through a mustard strainer, even though the parts of the egg are being sorted, because the intention is not to separate the egg, it's just to provide the right color to the mustard.